tomorrow we'll be from San Francisco, and we'll be on the road here very shortly to head up to the Bay Area for the Sketchfest. And you know, it's really interesting because I have been, you know, kind of thinking, how the hell do I want to do this fucking show? You know, and I don't mean that in a disparaging way. I just mean, you know, everything is effing. You get up to the 11th hour, everything's an effing this and effing that. But I'm, you know, what do I want to do? Do I want to do it the way I've done? No, I mean, I want to. And so the show is going to be this show, because it's a one-man show, you know. It's not a stand-up act. And at Sketchfest, you have the opportunity to present it that way, probably more than I might at the Improv, which I think the audience has a certain expectation that you're going to be doing a comedy show as opposed to, you know, a show. So, not that the show is heavy, not that there's heavy dramatics or anything like that, but it just is like that. So, I think what I'm going to do tomorrow night, and you guys being my BSPs, you'll get the dibs on that, on this. I'm going to start out introducing each character and giving a little background, and then going into a sketch that will feature the character as the primary voice and other peripheral characters interacting with that character. For instance, the initial sketch will be Ted Bell talking to various people in his restaurant, possibly me, and also our friend Jack Henderson from last night's show, which I thought actually had good content, talking about the the dairy and then the miniature chickens and miniature pork chops and the backstory on those, which of course is the evolutionary, this evolutionary island that exists somewhere in Indiana where nothing, you know, evolved naturally. So... And the same thing with Dave Oliva, Margaret Gray, Steve Bozell, Jay Santos, Bobby Dooley. And I think there's one other character there. One, two, three, four, five, six. There's six characters I'm going to do. So I'll try to figure out which ones are those. Anyway.
Nice to see you. I'm very happy that you're with us here. I hope that you'll really enjoy the premium here.
Let's see. What am I doing, man? I got one more song. I got it. This is... What the fuck is this? What are you doing, man? No, man. Get rid of that. Delete. Just loading in some things here. What is this?
Boss, girl, take it all.
No, this one. Obi O'Brien.
Refs up. OBO.
Scheming up.
You already.
Drake and P-Ray.
All my niggas so hungry, man, they just eat what they kill. I like convertible belly.
Up all night, Empire Cast.
Up all night.
Oh. Here's Trap Queen. Fetty Rap. Fetty Rap. Yeah.
1738. I'm like, hey, what's up, hello? Sent your pretty ass soon as you came in the door. I just wanna chill, got a sack for us to roll.
No knock, all that remains. Yeah.
I'll leave the moon again. I'll take a heat and a place.
All right. Feeling all right, rebellion, a resolution. Oh, I know this tune. We already did this one, man. I don't like this tune. I know this song. I don't want to do that one anymore. Let me get rid of that.
Feeling all right.
It's a nice song, but it's... I heard it. Get up, stand up. Oh, shit. Pardon me. I just want to look and see what I got here. What the hell was that song at?
because you're living in illusions. I can't wait till it hits you. Recollection, your misconception. Obsessed to see the greenest successful material gain causes serious stress. More love because you're living in illusion. Wake up now, yes, you're living in confusion. You're not a scholar, you're a waste of a teacher. Preach the dollars, you're a waste of a preacher. Love. Come on, that's what we need. More love, that's what we need to succeed. Not dollars, not what we need. Let's give them love so the youth can achieve.
People
more love.
Talk about love. It's hard to separate that nonsense, but you hip it down to your necks. No, we don't want no more false interpretation of the word. Manipulating people, having a business learned. You may think it's ridiculous, maybe even absurd, but we talk the truth, it has to be heard.
We need no. More love, come on, that's what we need. More love, that's what we need to succeed. Not dollars, not what.
Yeah, well, now that you made your money, you don't want nobody else to make any money. I love these cats that have made all their bread, you know, in like the music business. Now, we don't need any money now. We need love. You don't mind if we make a couple of bucks ourselves, do you?
No, man, don't be chasing the dollar like you did.
All right. you know what I'm saying? I'm not.
You got to make this right. Don't forget that I mentioned
love. Come on, that's what we need. More love. That's what we need to succeed now.
I'm with that, man. All right. Thank you very much, guys. That's very good. What's the name of that song? That's a rate. That's called More Love. That's what we need now. All right. And some of the things we're going to do on the show here tonight. this Inflategate thing, or Deflategate, whatever the fuck it is they're calling it, is pretty funny. And unless I missed my guess, the guy that I heard today on the tube, which was a physics professor from the University of Illinois, who said it's not really that unusual for balls to lose air pressure when they are in cold weather, as is the case, for instance, when one loses tire pressure. Anybody that's lived in really cold weather knows that when you get into your car in the morning and you start it up and you start driving, it almost feels as if you're driving on four flat tires, you know, if you're really freezing-ass weather. Because the air pressure is, the molecules are traveling slower as a result of the temperature. The warmer it is, the faster the molecules are traveling. And as the molecules are traveling much faster, the air pressure is greater. Now, I learned that in whatever the fuck it was, fourth grade. You know, I'm not any brain surgeon. Now, you ask, and rightfully so, well, then why didn't you think of that sooner, Phil? Because I ain't that bright. You know, I'm not as bright as a physics guy. I was just, wow, why'd the ball? Because I'm like, I guess in my mind, something doesn't lose air pressure unless you, put a pin in it and goes, it never occurs to me that there are a great many ways for air pressure to be less and for the resultant effect. And, now, I don't really know where it was left. There's a huge fucking press conference today. Jack Armstrong's going to be at that thing. As much as Jack is such a fuck-up. I know. I'm still trying to find something for Jack to do. And I got to get the... Rife!
That's right, Phil. That is correct, Phil. I was at the... that is correct, Phil. I was at the press conference today. To see what was the outcome of this very unusual set of circumstances, which is to find out whether there had been this, what you're talking about, you know. Well, that's right, Phil. I had been to the press conference. That's right, Phil. I had been to the press conference today. To see the outcome of this. And I listened to what Tom Brady said. I heard as you were mentioning Jerome Bettis, I wrote down this headline, Jerome Bettis throws Tom Brady under the bus, and Jerome Bettis is the bus. So in a way, he threw Tom Brady underneath himself
Well, that's kind of weird, isn't it?
Well, I don't... Weird. I think that's a pretty good turn of phrase.
Oh. let's see. I saw that article today. Lauren shared that article with me, and it is just the most beautiful thing. The GI, 89-year-old American soldier who met a man by the name of Joshua Kaufman, a Holocaust survivor that he, along with the 42nd Infantry, liberated at Dachau in 1945. This is 2015, so we're talking about 70 years now, right? Yeah, 70 years this spring. The World War II came to an end, and the 42nd came into Dachau. Now, if you go online to the Steven Spielberg archives, as a matter of fact, I can find those for you if you want me to, you will see the 42nd Infantry entering Dachau, and there used to be a piece of footage included in all of those where you see an inmate with a Nazi guard by the hair, and he's just wailing on this guy. And you see a series of, there's GIs standing around holding their weapons, not interceding. The German has got his hands up, and every time the German tries to get away, the GIs basically draw down on this guy. And the message is very clear. We're not going to step in and, you know, save you from a little bit of an ass-kicking here, Jack, considering what it was that we observed. And I think there's a lot of people who, to this day, especially people that I don't think, you know, everybody wants to go according to this hard and fast rule book that was written somewhere in a perfect land, and that's not who we are. You know, well, you know, that's not who we are. But I like to think as Americans, we're also the kind of people that we can become so outraged and so angered by absolute criminality in the extreme that we react in a very human way. We lash out it violently. We lash out at it violently. And that's what happened to Dachau. The story is that there were some American soldiers that just went ahead and lined up the guards that they met and summarily executed them. You know what? I don't give a shit, personally. And it, was that an actual war crime? I suppose by the book you could call it that, but I also think that there's some things in war especially that are so utterly beyond the scope of comprehension that it's asking too much of a normal human being to hold their emotions in check in certain instances. I really do. I don't know what those are, and I'm not willing to say. And, you know, if someone was going to actually dig up that incident and they wanted to put, if they could find any of those soldiers that are still around, and they wanted to put them on trial, I think they would probably be the most sympathetic war criminals in the history of the world, you know? I mean, people would be coming from miles around to throw garlands at their feet. Now then. No. All right, I'm not going to go into any speeches. That's my feeling. And I don't want to, you know, piss anybody off, but I, you should read this article. It's this is the young man. This is Dan Gillespie. His name is Daniel Gillespie. Daniel Gillespie was a machine gun operator with the 42nd Infantry, with the 42nd Rainbow Division. And they came into Dachau. He was a machine gun operator, and they marched into this concentration camp. They were shocked. They were mortified. Daniel himself is quoted as saying that, you know, we'd never seen anything like this before in our lives. It was beyond anything that we could imagine. He said, I grew up in California. We had everything. We didn't understand how people would let other people starve. Joseph Kaufman, the man that he met, and he was one of many concentration camp inmates. There's Joseph Kaufman. He was one of many that these soldiers liberated. And Dan Gillespie led Joseph Kaufman out of the darkened latrine where he was hiding with some other inmates, because they didn't know when they heard the soldiers' boots coming. They didn't know whether these are Nazi soldiers coming to eradicate them or what. But he brought him out into the sunlight and let him know that he was liberated. And both men, by both of their accounts, they shed tears. They exchanged whatever thanks and greetings they could. And then that was the end of that. Little did they know, and here's the most amazing part of the story, little did they know that these men lived about 2 miles from each other in Huntington Beach, California. Are you ready for that? Now, you can see the whole thing on Memorial Weekend, this Memorial Weekend, on the History Channel, I think, as they plan. There is a German documentary crew came over here. They found the two men. They planned the reunion. Joshua Kaufman said that everything he has in life is because of Daniel Gillespie. When the Holocaust survivor, the American World War II soldier, met on Huntington Beach in California, it was an extremely emotional reunion. The two men, who unknowingly lived just 1 hour from each other, immediately saluted when they finally met again. And here is the picture, I'm sorry, you guys probably can't see it all that well. There's Daniel Gillespie on the right, and there is Joshua Kaufman saluting him on the left. And an hour from each other. How about that? That happened. That story is repeated a lot in the amazing and sad and heroic history of the years that followed World War II. But anyway, I thought it was just another one of those really emotional things. And, you know, these guys, Dan Gillespie's 90, he's 89 years old now. There he is as a young man, but he's now 89, 90 years of age. And he is, one of our World War II veterans who will pass from memory. And World War II is now entering that phase that World War I has already entered, which is it's moving from memory to history. So, you know, if you know a veteran, a World War II veteran, I don't want to say veteran because the last time I said sit down and talk to a veteran, I got a bunch of these fucking cynical asshole, I don't know who these guys are, whether they're real vets or not, but there's some guys on Facebook saying, I don't want anybody talking to me. Okay, fine. Don't bother any asshole that doesn't want you bothering him. But when it comes to World War II guys, you might want to, if you can, hear their story, get their story, record their story, because history is an important thing to record. And I'm sure it's been done plenty by a lot of really, you know, proficient people, but I just wanted to make sure that we're not missing anything, huh? Let me check and see where we're at here. Okay, I got 6 minutes to go. That's a wild thing, man. Okay. God, it's fucking hot in here. Whew. Woo-hoo! Again. It doesn't get hot that much, but when it does, it's a hot motherfucker in here.
Feeling all right?
Yeah.
With the strength of a lion.
Yeah, that's a great story, huh? Man. All right.
Feeling all right, yeah.
You know, Phil,
I'll tell you, Phil, those are the stories that you want to continue to, and I'd like to get, I've got Bill Befferty. Bill's a World War II veteran, and, you know, I asked him if he'd come down and if he would, you know, and I asked, we've got this sauerkraut that comes from my son, Sainsbury sauerkraut. They make it right here in California. And I wanted to pose him with a bayonet.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. And I realize that was tasteless, but...
Testing, one, two. Okay. Robert Greene. What's that town in San Diego? Oh, shit. What's that? Is it Poway? It's in San Diego County. Yeah, fuck, I forget. Oceanside. That's a good enough town, man. All right. Ugh. Baby. We ready to go, man? Let's see what this is. I don't know if this is it or not. I don't think it is. No. All right. Stand by. Stand by for dues. Wait a minute. I wish I had another fucking god.
Damn, man. You know what I want is another fucking Coke. I want to get another Coke. Hold on. I'll be right back.